my fine friends. Welcome back to Destination Discourse. I'm your host, Stuart Butler, joined today with the one, the only, the great, the fabulous, the person I'm so thankful for in this entire world. Maybe not the most, but he's up there, is Adam Stoker.
That's it?
You want more?
That's all you got?
He's pretty good at
expecting a
juggling.
Five-minute
I think
monologue.
he can play the bagpipes. he's decent on a unicycle. What else do you want?
You know what's funny? I am decent on a unicycle. I do not play the bagpipes.
Okay. What about juggling?
I can juggle. You know
Can
what?
you
Yeah.
Can you juggle and unicycle at the same time?
I'll be honest. I've never tried both of them at the same time.
Okay.
Maybe
Well,
I
I
should.
guess it should be your New Year's resolution.
Maybe that'll be the video that plays in the background of Stu's News in 2026 is me riding a unicycle and juggling.
One can hope. One can hope. The reason I was saying I was thankful for you, Adam, because obviously everyone knows I'm not, because I give you a hard time all the time. And now they don't know what to believe. But we're recording this on the verge of Thanksgiving, you know, and this is for our non-American friends. This is a time where Americans get together with families and eat way too much food and overindulge in other stuff and try to reflect on what they're grateful for, right? And so we thought we'd do a little show today. It's not going to be a full-length episode, but we're just going to talk a little bit about what we're thankful for and maybe give some folks listening a little perspective, because we've probably scared a few people over the last couple of episodes. Like I've listened back to them and scared myself a little bit. So we're going to sort of zoom out a little bit, give some people some perspective and remind us all that we're very blessed and that we should be thankful for a lot of things. So this is very, very off brand for me, I know, but we're gonna
really
try to
sincere.
Do it.
I like it.
I know we're gonna try to be as sincere as we can, and you know, there might be a few wisecracks along the way, who knows. But before we get into wisecracks,
it is
the time of the greatest segment in all of destination marketing. It's time for Stu's News, and Adam wasn't quite ready, I don't think, because he's pulling it up now.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah,
our guests have been liking it, Stuart.
Mm-hmm. So I think we should, you know, for the people that are thankful for the show, we should ask them to submit them singing the jingle or dancing to the jingle. I mean, that would be great. We should get a montage of that.
I like that. I've also been questioning, should we consider for 2026 a new jingle? Should I create whatever a new album could drop, you know, for Stu's News? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering what our audience will think about that. What do the Desties want?
I think that's a great question. They can email us, right? I'm stuart.butler@visitmontalbeach.com, and Adam, what's your email address?
Adam@thebrandrevolt.com.
Great. Well, Stu's News today is no surprise. There's more updates coming from AI, right? Gemini 3 just launched. Grok has a new update. And I really want to focus on Gemini 3, specifically Gemini 3 Pro. I haven't actually used it yet, but I've been watching videos on YouTube of folks that are doing some crazy stuff. So we're getting to the point where this thing is just mind-boggling. I watched a video of a person with a single prompt. They basically said, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but build a self-contained program that runs on a web browser that is Windows 11, including functionality. Create a desktop, including icons for programs, including Microsoft Word, Photoshop, and then I forget a Chrome, like a couple of other things. And literally in under a minute, this thing built a self-contained software that they ran, and it was not perfect. There were certain features that didn't work, but they could open essentially what was Word. They could open essentially what was Photoshop, could do all the things you could do in Photoshop, could open a web browser, surf the web, like all exist with a single prompt. Like the coding capabilities of this thing, the ability to build applications is just next level. And all the benchmarks for Gemini 3 are off the chart. Like it's head and shoulders above everything else. But, you know, obviously OpenAI and Perplexity and all these others are going to come out with their next versions. And any thought that we were going to slow down in terms of the quantum leap jumps between iterations, I think is going away. And one of the things that was really interesting is there's a theory that at some point we're gonna hit a ceiling when it comes to the training side of things, and it's just more training is not necessarily going to yield better results. But what they're coming out and saying with Gemini 3 is no, we're not seeing that end anywhere in sight. So it's just more evidence that we're accelerating, man. We're not slowing down in terms of the capabilities of this stuff. So that's the news, but I want to bring in a context, right? And so I listened back to our last couple of episodes, and as I mentioned, they're pretty scary, right? I think we were a little chicken little. I think I stand by everything we said, right? And that Jeanette and Kara said too. But what's the reality? What's the actual reality, and what's likely going to happen? And where I had a little epiphany this past week is I was playing around with Atlas with the new OpenAI browser, right? And I'm trying to train my brain to think differently on how to perform a task. And so I ended up giving it a task to go and look at all of our previous episodes, figure out who the guest was on each episode, go find their email address, and then put it into a spreadsheet. And I sat there and watched it do them do it. And it did a really good job of it. Like it wasn't 100% perfect. Let's say it got like a 95% accuracy. But I'm watching the browser do the thing, and I'm having this cognitive dissonance because part of me knows that it's more efficient, and I don't necessarily have to monitor it because if as I build trust in it, it's gonna. But even for me, as a what I would consider a tip of the spear kind of adopter when it comes to technology, I'm not going back to it. Like it's not something that I've trained my brain to think about. Let's use this technology that exists that can improve my life, can do things more efficiently. I'm not at a point where it's habit yet, and I'm thinking it's going to take a while. And if I'm having that cognitive dissonance and that resistance to it, I think the average consumer is too.
Yeah.
So whereas
If a
we sort of
savant like you is still struggling to adopt, right?
Yeah, no, I yes. If the genius that I am, no, it I just we talk about this, right? We're in it.
Yeah.
So I think we're bleeding edge. But so I think everything we say is true about where things are going, especially if we listen to last week's episode with Jeanette. I think I agree 100% it's going there. I just don't think the timeline is there. And I don't think the adoption curve is going to look any different than any other. Like part of me was thinking previously that we were going to see a cliff. And now I think it's going to be more of a slow attrition, if that makes sense. And by slow, I'm now thinking we've got at least 5 years, right? Whereas 2 months ago, I was thinking we had less than 2 years. And so that's Stu's news.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting conclusion, I guess, that you're drawing there. I think what I want to do is maybe take a step back and say, well, what do you and I feel like our role is in this industry, right? In having this show, what are we trying to do? And one of the things that you've said, I think probably 30 or 40 times since we started this show, is usually when we talk about technology advancement, we're right about what's going to happen, but we're wrong about the timeline. Like you've said that several times. We overestimate how quickly it's going to get adopted, how quickly it's going to be impacted. But I think our job is to make sure that the industry, and I'm going to quote Kara Franker here, that the industry doesn't get caught with its pants down with this technology evolution. I think historically in our space, our industry has been a little bit slow to adopt new technology. We usually kind of wait and see what other industries are going to do. And I think that AI is something significant enough to where if we continue that trend, it is going to negatively impact a lot of jobs, a lot of communities, and a lot of opportunities for DMOs to make an impact. And so I think I agree with you wholeheartedly that we're probably overestimating it, but what I don't want to do is tell everybody, so you're going to be fine, just keep doing what you're doing, right? And so that's the, I guess, the caveat that I would give to what you just said is I totally agree with you, but I do think that we need to continue to push forward because it is going to happen. It's timeline that we're questioning, not whether or not the technology is going to get there.
Yeah, for sure. So I would 100% agree with you. And I think to be clear, what I'm saying is we shouldn't be panicked, right?
Yes.
Because I think we were verging on panic over the last few episodes, in almost like an exasperation of we're not really quite sure what to do. And I guess I don't want this show to be a cause of fear and concern in the
Yeah.
industry that's unwarranted, right? And so I agree with you that we need to be still encouraging people to be proactive, to be thinking where this is going, and to plant those seeds today.
Yeah.
Because if we wait 5 years, right, we're probably going to be defunded. So we have time to take a breath, to source smart people into our circles, to think through this strategically, but we got to start planting those seeds today. No question.
Well, and some of the things that we talked about with Jeanette last week, the type of changes that would need to be made in order to accomplish what we talked about for destinations, you do need to start now. In making those types of changes don't happen when you have a board meeting and say, okay, in Q1 we're now going to have this entirely new function. Like I think that the thing that we're trying to say is start turning the ship now so that you have time to turn the ship, and that's definitely not cause for panic. That's just a call to be proactive and start the process now.
And I really, I'm going to quote myself here, which is kind of weird. But I really do think I've used this term a lot since it was just like a sort of conscious thought stream in the conversation a couple of episodes ago. But I made a comment about thinking about us not as the marketers for our destination, but the operating system for
Yeah.
hospitality in our industry. And I'm trying to find a better analogy because I don't know that everyone that is going to understand that one, but I really do think that's the way we need to think, right? We need to start thinking about how we're valued in the community beyond promotion, right? It's how we help in with economic development and attracting things to our market, whether that be product or events. We need to be thinking about like the really communicating the impact of the groups and meetings that we're driving. If we're on the group, if we have the sales as a part of our function, not everyone does, like Philadelphia is separate. We need to be thinking about our impact on workforce, everything from like temporary workers and things like that. So I think just a more holistic approach, and we're having a conversation. Not every DMO is like this. A lot of DMOs don't have membership, right? They're taking public funds and investing it under the sort of purview of a board of directors that's made up of the hospitality. We're membership driven, and we've always been sort of transactional with our stakeholders. We give them something for what they pay us, usually in the form of benefits that result in direct ROI. But we're really beginning to change that mindset and thinking more about they should value us for what we do, not what they get, right? I think that's a big distinction. And so we're going through that evolution. But that also means we've got to be, like we said in the last episode, way more collaborative with folks
Yeah.
across the spectrum of stakeholders and power structures within our destination. So
It's a complete reset of expectations, right?
yeah, and I like what Jeanette said last episode, just sort of that first principles approach. Like, why do we exist, right?
Yeah.
What is it that we do? And making sure we start from that foundation where everyone in our community agrees that we are that intersection of the visitors, the businesses, and the residents that drive the tourism economy in our community. But we don't do that in isolation. We do that surrounded by a ton of other entities and individuals. So it's cool. It's really exciting. It's really exciting. So
Yeah.
yeah. So let's segue. Let's just sort of start talking about what we're grateful for. I will start. One of the things I'm grateful for is the listeners on this show. And I know we've had a few, we haven't done this in a while, but I'd like to do a little housekeeping because we've got a couple of like super fans. I know
Yeah.
some of which have been on the show before, but I'd like to spend a couple minutes just hearing from some of our audience that have left us messages on Spotify. And if you want yours read out on the show ever, you can always leave us a comment on a Spotify episode or a review on Apple Podcasts, and we'll read it out.
Yeah, I've got a couple of them queued up, and I gotta say, without our Desties who have kind of gotten involved with the show, there's no way we get to 56, 57 episodes. You and I would have given up a long time ago if nobody was listening. We just stopped pressing record when we have these conversations. So I'm really grateful that people have been listening to the show, and especially those that have enjoyed it enough to get involved in the conversation through comments or even becoming a guest on the show. So I'll read a few of these that came through over the last several weeks. Does that work? So episode 53, we talked with Jennifer from Visit Dallas about should vacation be mandated by destinations. It was a really interesting conversation. Nate Grasok, who has been a great Destie from the beginning, he's an OG listener, right?
And
And
he's
he
Desti with a
says,
Y for sure. He's Team Desti Y Nation.
That's right. Yep, he definitely writes it out that way whenever he comments. So he says, love this episode. We looked at research on how many New Yorkers leave PTO days on the table and lose PTO days per year. The numbers were shocking. So some partners created a campaign to encourage people to use their PTO days. Then we realized it starts with us. In tourism, we have to make sure we're being a good example of what tourism looks like, using PTO time as well. I like the idea of using PTO for an R&D trip, both outside and within your market, to compare destinations. And then he says, hashtag destination with a Y.
There you go.
So I love
Thank
that.
you, Nate. Yeah. We got a lot of response to that episode. Like I really, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I'll foreshadow, but I'm going to comment on that episode and a couple of others in a little bit about things I'm thankful for. So
Cool.
let's keep going.
Caleb Sullivan also, he's been on the show a couple times now and is another OG Destie. He says, dance off challenge accepted. You're on, Jennifer. So I think we may need Caleb and Jennifer to film that competition. And I promise you, if you film that dance off and take video of it and send it to us, we will air it on this show. I promise that will happen. So Caleb, Jennifer, if you guys do this, we will provide you a platform to make sure everyone gets to see it.
Nice.
Those are the comments from that episode, but there was another episode that we did that actually involved Caleb Sullivan. And he brought a friend of his from outside of the industry, Tyler Ford, and we talked a little bit about helping destinations think about the visitor journey more like a supply chain. And that was an interesting conversation that we had. Nate listened to that one as well. And Nate said, I always think about taking a destination story and applying it to all aspects of the destination. Looking at Las Vegas marketing and their attractions together, and looking at it through the lens of supply chain, if we can take the destination story and not just tell it to potential visitors, but also use it to create a consistent message throughout the destination stakeholders and throughout the destination supply chain, the destination's message becomes so much more powerful. Hashtag destination with a Y.
Nice. I love that comment. I think he's really thinking that one of the things I love about this show, at least the conversations I've had with other folks that have listened to it, is they sort of continue the conversation outside of the show, right? We often, or the guests more often than not, are giving people a new nugget, a new thought, something that they hadn't perceived before or considered before, but then they're running with it and they're sort of riffing on it. So I will say, Nate, come on the show and let's talk about that. I think that'd be a really good subject.
Yeah, we do have to figure out how to get Nate on the show. That's for sure. And then Caleb, of course, chimes in, and the Caleb humility is one of Caleb's best traits, much like you, Stuart. He says that was a pretty good episode, if I do say so myself.
Wow, he's learning. He may have taken a few pages out of my book there. It's good.
We also did our 50th episode, and that was a little reflective for you and I. And Dustin Rowe, who also is an OG listener at this point, Dustin says, gentlemen, congrats on 50 episodes, adding some validation that you've made a dent in my universe. This pod has helped teach me how the DMO wheels churn and problems that leaders face. My question, has the value of social media content increased with the recent change that's now being indexed, that it's now being indexed by Google and AI platforms?
You want to answer that?
Well, I think I'm still seeing it is being indexed, but I want to be a little bit careful because the highest volume of content that's out there right now is social content, especially if you're lumping YouTube in with social content. And we're still seeing earned media have more value in the LLM results right now than social content. So I don't know that the fact that it's being indexed makes it more valuable on its face. But I definitely think that it's an argument to continue to produce it because it's indexing now in the LLMs. And I'd love to know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I actually disagree with you. I think it is more valuable. The challenge with social is that there's so much noise to signal, right? And the signal to noise ratio. It's just a lot of slop content out there. And so I think what AI is really good at is taking a lot of information and filtering it into something that's valuable and useful. And so I think if we're leveraging social media the right way, then our content, unique, remarkable, granular content is more likely to manifest to people in new channels, right? So I can now put out a channel on Facebook or YouTube or whatever where I'm pushing things, I'm reaching that audience, but now I have a new potential opportunity to reach another audience, which is someone that's interacting with an LLM. So I think you interpret it as, is it more valuable than other stuff? That I'm not sure. But
But
is
you're
it more
saying it's
valuable
more valuable than it
than
was
it was
before
before?
on its own.
Then 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, I
Yep.
think
Yep.
that's fair. I think my only pushback to that is you do have to have a good strategy, content strategy, in order for it to be more valuable. Like the what that doesn't mean is just create more social content. You still need to if you're trying to
Yeah, the
optimize for
quality has to be there
LLMs,
for sure. Yeah.
Good
Yeah.
question, Dustin.
Yeah.
Thank you for
Hey,
that.
Dustin, come on the show. Let's talk about it.
Yeah,
Dig into it.
absolutely. Dustin, he's been a Destie long enough. We definitely need to get him on the show.
Yeah.
And Nate, of course, commented on that episode as well and said, congrats on the 50th episode. Can't wait for the next 50. I really did enjoy Stuart just letting out all of his thoughts for the one episode and Adam being able to come back and think through some of those concepts a little bit more and work through everything. Hashtag Destination with a Y.
Nice.
So
He's making
yeah,
fetch
Nate,
happen.
you're awesome. Thank you. Appreciate you following along.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like those episodes. I've gotten a lot of feedback. I mean, I love our guests. I learn a lot when we have our guests on, but I think occasionally us doing those sort of more pontification type episodes where we're thinking more like it's a therapy session for either of us and then the other gets to sort of respond. I think those are good too. So we'll keep blending those in.
You know, Stuart, as much as we give each other a hard time about our egos, I think we've both been able to be fairly vulnerable and think out loud on this show. And like we've both said things that were wrong, you more than me, of course, but we've both said things that are incorrect. And we've been willing to take that risk on this show. And I think that's been helpful just to like, because people are hearing us think through it and work it out together. And you don't get to hear that very often.
Well, as Michael Jackson once said, it starts with the man in the mirror, right? So we have to look at ourselves first. And if we're going to be the change agents or we want change to occur in our industry, then we've got to be the change that we want to see. And so I think more people need to have the courage to think out loud, to be vulnerable, to admit they don't know stuff or that they're trying to figure stuff out. I think our industry needs more discourse for sure.
Yeah. Can I tell you something I'm grateful for?
Oh, is it me? Shucks.
Hey, you know what? Way to spoil it. Okay. You know, you try to do something nice. I'm grateful that 5 years ago, at which I think it is 5 years ago at this point, when I was planning on taking my family to Myrtle Beach, I sent you a LinkedIn message and I said, hey, I'm bringing my family to Myrtle Beach. I'm not sure if you heard my show, but here's the Destination Marketing Podcast. Would love to get some guidance on what to do with my family. And you actually responded and said, hey, I have heard your show and would love to give you some ideas. And that kind of started a conversation that now everybody gets to hear on a weekly basis. And I really think there's a lot of people out there that when they get a message from somebody who, especially like I'm a vendor in the space, I'm sure that there's an immediate reaction of, oh, here we go again. And you genuinely just responded and gave me some opportunities of how to get around Myrtle Beach and how to have a good experience with my family. And even though I didn't like seafood and all your recommendations were seafood recommendations, it was really, really great. And I've always appreciated that, Stuart. I really do.
Thank you, man. You have a little revisionist history. I really feel like I reached out to you before you reached out to me. And I may be completely making that up. I'm looking
I
up
got it.
LinkedIn now. I
Are
feel
you
like
really
I,
looking it up?
yeah, because I feel like I had listened to your show and reached out and just said it was good.
Well, I am happy to be wrong on that one because that would mean my show is even more impactful than I thought it was, right? But
Yeah,
I'm
no,
not sure
you may
that's
be
what
right
happened.
here. You may be right here. I
Well,
completely. I mean, as
yeah.
I often do, I may have like main character syndrome and just assumed it was all me.
You?
But yeah, so there's a in mail from July 23rd, 2021 from you saying that you were coming to Muller Beach. And then yeah.
And then
So
you're like,
you
and I generously respond.
Well, I knowing you were an evil vendor, I did take time to coach you and help you and make sure that you were having a great time. Wait, when was
It
this?
was very generous of you to do that. And I mean
Yeah,
that. I really appreciate that.
you're very welcome. No, but our job is to invite people to come to Myrtle Beach and then or to our destination, but then to ensure that they have a great time, right? And so if we can do that one visitor at a time, we're still doing our job. So anyone that's coming to Myrtle Beach, please reach out to me. I'd love to help you curate a great experience. But yeah, Adam, it does look like you were the person that reached out. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
And there's a lesson to be learned there, right? You did not, for a long time, even begin to try to sell me on anything. And in fact, you never really sold me on anything. I reached out to you and said, "Hey, I've got a project. Would you guys be interested in it?" So
Yeah.
yeah. But not many vendors do that, man. Most of them, they're in it for themselves. I mean, you were in it to find out where you could eat that didn't have seafood. I know that, but you just wanted chicken sandwiches everywhere you went.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a true story.
Chicken
The
tenders, chicken
yeah,
tenders.
that's right. The audience should know that. It's like Adam asked me for a recommendation of restaurants, and you know, we got amazing seafood here. We got a lot of other food too, but I'd say at least half of what I recommended were sort of seafood staples of my area. And you responded back, I don't eat seafood. I only eat chicken tenders and well, chicken. I think it was dinosaur chicken nuggets and French fries, is what you probably said.
That's right. That's right. And I wanted to pay $15 a pop for
Per chicken nugget.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Awesome. Was that all
No,
of
that
the
was just
feedback
one. I
though?
figured I'd kick the conversation off. I've got several things
No,
and
I
I
meant all
don't.
of the visitor, I mean the listeners feedback. Are we
Oh yeah,
through
that
all
was
of,
all of
yeah.
our
All right.
comments for sure.
Okay. So that's what you're thankful for was for
Yeah.
this beautiful relationship, this bromance that people get to see play out on air every week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I'll do one. So I'm very grateful for this show, and I'm very grateful for you being a part of the show and going on this crazy journey for me. It really is one of the highlights of my week. I love thinking things through. I love sparring with people. I like that. Those are my favorite things. But I'm really thankful for the guests that have been on, right? And I think you may probably name a few individually, and I will
Yeah.
here too. But everyone has stretched me in ways that I didn't imagine. Like, I'm definitely a better president of a DMO today than I was when we started, right? And I think I love the recent episodes we've done where we're really stretching ourselves and in the areas that we're pretty comfortable stretching. Like, I love those. So, like, you know, Kara and Jeanette's episodes were two of my favorites we've ever done. But I really think the ones where I've learned the most were the ones that were sort of the more surprising topics, you know, the ones that weren't what you would expect, right? So I'll go back to like Bill Geist. When we asked him, I thought for sure his topic, because we often ask people, what's your pet peeve or what grinds your gears in the industry or what do you want to really tackle? And the fact that the genius master of all things board related and structural and strategic came and said, I'm really, really bothered by a calendar of events, right? That was mind-blowing to me, right? It
Yeah.
actually led me on a little journey that ended up us working with actually Dustin Rowe, who you mentioned earlier. He has a really cool tool to help you aggregate events. And so that inspired me to think differently, and it was unexpected. I'd say Kyle Edmondson too. He really talked about culture of your team, and I'm really am passionate, and I believe that the most important asset anyone has is their team around them. And talking about like doing surveys with your team and making sure that you're providing what you need and being a coach, I thought that was really good. And then even recently with Jennifer, when she came on and talked about the PTO stuff, like that wasn't something I'd really spent a lot of time thinking about. I can tell you, not directly as a result of that, but in part because of it, we've just overhauled our entire PTO structure within our organization. And so, those are the things that are impactful. But every conversation, I've learned something from every conversation we've had. There's not been one where I'm like, oh, that was a big dull dud. Maybe one or two that you did on your own with me, but when we've had guests, there's never been a big dull dud of an episode.
Yeah,
So,
and those you just learned from yourself, right?
well, I do learn from myself. Do you ever have this? This is really, really stupid. I should never say this being recorded.
That's how I know you have to say it.
I know, but there's times I'm listening back to an episode and I say something that I have no recollection of me saying. And I'm like, that's really smart. Like, I hadn't thought of that. But because I don't know if you do this too, but I disassociate myself from the character on the show, right? So when I'm listening to the show, I'm not thinking it's me and you. I'm thinking it's Adam and Stuart, these characters that are on a show. Right. Do you do that, or is this just me being weird?
I don't know that I've defined the characters as deeply as you have, but I do listen as a listener, and I am entertained by the episodes as a listener. I don't necessarily go back and write down, I said this brilliant thing, I said that brilliant thing,
I'm
and like
not
I don't keep a
writing it
journal
down.
that way, you know.
All right, let me ask you another time. Have you ever said something on the show that when you listen back later, it made you laugh?
Oh yeah, like
Yeah. See, it's the
that
same thing.
happens. Yeah, it's the same thing. And I'll tell you even something more. I've gone back and listened and heard little nuggets, whether it's from you or from me, and I've said, "Wait, I've got to meet with my executive team and talk through this with them." So what it has been, almost every episode is a conversation starter that leads to something more in our organization.
And I'll go back to something Brad said as well, Brad Dean, when he was on the show early on, where he talked about we shouldn't be thinking about the success of this show as the number of listeners we get, even though the listenership has grown tremendously and continues to grow, and it's in a really good position now. Certainly exceeded my expectations. But the conversations that we're starting within teams, the people that are listening are leaders in the industry. And if they're taking one thing from every other episode and they're going back to their teams or to a conference or whatever it is, like I've seen people present keynotes now at conferences on a topic that we've tackled on this show. And I know some of these people are listeners to the show. So I'm like, oh, so we're a catalyst for some of this conversation. So Brad was the first to point that out, but I think it's to me, it gives me a lot of satisfaction. Very grateful for that.
I'm grateful for all the guests that have come on, and every single one of them has stretched me beyond where my brain was at when we started the conversation. That's been really helpful. I want to make sure I express gratitude to my team, because one of the things that having these conversations does is creates a lot of conversation starters in my team, like I said. And one of the things that I've stressed on this show is we've got to be willing to evolve and adapt, somewhat matching the pace of technology and consumer behavior. And that's been really hard on my team as I've asked them to continue to adapt and continue to evolve. And I think we've really identified the group that is up for the challenge, I guess, if that makes sense. And I'm really grateful for the people who have seen a lot of change in our organization, have stuck through the change that's happened in our organization, and are now pushing together in the same direction. And honestly, I don't know if the direction we're pushing in as an organization today would be what it is without this show, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I at the risk of sounding cheesy, I had my team here at Visit Myrtle Beach on my list, but I also have your team as well because I think you guys have been real sports. There's a risk in what we're doing, right? Because some of what we're doing is it's experimental thought, right? And so that doesn't always mean it's a cohesive final idea with clarity. And so I feel like your team, my team, our other agencies that we work with probably have a little bit of whiplash at times because we're like, hey, look at this new bright and shiny thing that we just talked about for the first time ever, but now it's the most important thing we have to focus on. And so they've all been real sports about it. But I think, you know, one thing in reflection, I'm going to try to do better over the next year is let's not move the goalposts, right? We still need a fixed North Star, maybe tweak that occasionally, but that North Star, the direction we're heading, probably needs to be pretty stable. But how we get there needs to be more dynamic based on, you know, what's happening in the world around us. So,
Vision and mission should be pretty consistent. How we achieve it is probably going to change. Yeah. I like that.
You got any more?
You know, one of the things that I'm grateful for, again, it kind of comes from this show, is I was able to, using some of the conversations we had, it led to create that CMO Jam event that I did earlier in the year. And a lot of these guys took a risk by traveling into Esto a day early and coming and spending some time with us and having those conversations. It turned out to be just a massive success. And those guys took a risk because, you know, you don't want to be one of the people around the table at an event that failed and the content wasn't any good, right? And so they definitely took a risk. And now, you know, I even was able with several of them earlier this week to have a focus group where I said, hey, here's the things that I'm struggling with in my organization, and I've got some decisions to make, and I want some feedback from you guys on where we're going. And they all generously gave of their opinions and experience, and it's almost like I've been, even though we're not doing business together, they're invested in helping me figure out where to go with my organization and my personal success. And so I'm grateful for the relationships across the board, across the industry that I've developed. And then most recently, these guys who are helping me kind of shape where I'm headed with my organization. Really, really cool. Really, we're in an amazing industry with great people who are very willing to help and support.
Yeah, for sure. You actually read my mind a little bit. I'm looking at my list and it's, this is not planned out, but before I jump into that, you should be really proud of CMO Jam, right? I think it's an important thing. You and I have talked about the need for that kind of experience in our industry. In the content that I've seen that you've been posting on LinkedIn is top notch. So anyone that hasn't seen it, just go to Adam's LinkedIn and you're going to see most of those
Thank
videos
you.
posted. I thought our very own Visit Myrtle Beach's very own. I saw the highlight reel from Diane Chano this past week. She did a tremendous job. So thank you for doing this for the industry, but also thank you for doing it for my team, right? That I think she's a stronger marketer having gone through that. And so thank you for including her and us, and thank you for doing that for the industry. But
Absolutely.
one of the things I'd written down was this industry. You know, we are part of the hospitality industry, and I think it attracts a certain type of person. And I'm very thankful for those people that are in the industry, whether they've been on our show or not. Everyone I meet at a conference or online, and or if I just reach out and ask someone a question, I've never been told no. Like everyone is always willing to just give with no benefit to themselves. Give information, share competitive data, share industry secrets, right? Like people are really collaborative in this. And that gives me a lot of hope and excitement for the future because whatever happens in the next 5 years, we're going to need to be together. We're going to need to sort of be in lockstep and we're going to need to lean on each other, right? So seeing what happened around Brand USA with their defunding, which by the way, now it looks like there's folks advocating to reinstate their funding, but seeing how people stepped up when Greenville, I'm not Greenville, when Asheville last year went through their hurricane, you know, or other places have gone, Jamaica's gone through this, seeing how this industry rallies together and helps each other in times of need and is willing to give selflessly, like there's not another industry like that. There's really not. And so I'm very, very grateful for that. And the
Yeah, I
fact
think we're
like
really
these
fortunate
CMOs
here.
are willing to go to CMO jam and openly share their secrets with each other. It's wild. It doesn't happen in other industries.
Yeah. And I mean, they were very, n not to just make this about CMO Jam, but they were very vulnerable. Like, it's one thing to show up and be guarded and kind of see what everybody else is going to say, but everybody
Just
was really
take. Yeah. Yeah.
honest. And there even was someone who had a stakeholder say, "I can't believe you said that." And then there's a difficult conversation that needed to be had, and not that that was intended by any means, but
Yeah.
that's how vulnerable people were. And I think it's really valuable. And we're lucky to be in an industry where people will do that.
That's great. Yeah. Awesome. You got any more, Adam?
I've got tons more, but I think for the sake of time, I just can't imagine having this much fun anywhere else. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I have thoroughly enjoyed doing this show with you and getting to know people at conferences who have listened. I've had people, and I know you've said this too, they're standing next to me grabbing lunch at a conference and they're like, "You're Adam Stoker," before they see my name tag or anything. And it's just been really, really fun to get to know the people who show up and press play on this show every week. And we couldn't do it without you. So I'm really grateful that we're doing this.
Yeah, me too. It's really good. I love, the community we've created is definitely something I'm really proud of, and long may it continue. So I have a favor to ask for everyone that's listening. Like, we want this to impact as many people as possible. So there's really two calls to action. One, if you have a burning topic, if you have a thought or an idea that you feel like the industry and the people in the industry can benefit from, reach out to us. Let us know. We'd love to have you on the show and have a conversation. We're mostly nice to our guests, right? We're only mean to each other, so we'll be nice to you. But come with a strong opinion and be willing to sort of be vulnerable, like a lot of the other folks that have come before. So that's number one. Like, we'd love to have you on the show, so reach out to us. The other is, let us know that you're supporting the show. We'd love to see that, whether that be through a review on Apple Podcasts, whether that be through a comment on Spotify. Like, just tell the word, or just go into your social channel, go into LinkedIn and just telling us that you appreciate it and sharing a link to the show so others can find it. Because the more people that are thinking forward in this industry, thinking about being better tomorrow than we were today, the better chance we have all of succeeding, thriving in making an impact. Travel is an inalienable right, and there's so many wonderful, weird places. I think in a world where we're so divided, and the media would have us believe we're all at each other's throats. I think travel is the antidote. I think going and experiencing other cultures and other people and immersing yourself is the solution. So the world needs us, and I don't mean us, me and Adam. I mean
All of
us as a
us.
travel industry. And this show is a way that we can ensure the successful future of that industry. So please share it with someone. Like, I know every podcast you listen to says this stuff, leave a review, share, blah, blah, blah,
Sure.
blah, right? And I listen to it, and 99% of the time I don't. This is that 1% of the time. Please go do it. It'll mean a lot to us just to tell us that you're grateful for the show and that you appreciate the show, and to share it with someone else. That would really mean a lot to us. And it's Thanksgiving, people. If you can't do it at Thanksgiving, when can you do it?
When can you do it? The one thing I want to add is I would love for everybody to consider watching the show on YouTube, because every once in a while we'll put some visuals up if we're evaluating a campaign or something like that. Would love to have more people see the guest and experience on YouTube as well. So, and then that's a great place to leave comments if you do enjoy the show on YouTube.
Yeah, that is another place. We do look at the comments on YouTube. We get them occasionally as well. But yeah, I think honestly, Adam, you're asking a lot there. I'm just asking to leave a review. That you're asking people to look at our faces for like an hour at a time. That's a lot to ask for
Let's, you
people.
know what? Let's look at the data. Let's do a test. We'll do three episodes with you with your camera off and me with my
Yeah.
camera on. Then we'll do three
Yeah.
episodes, me camera off, you camera on, and let's just look at the YouTube views and see how they perform.
What about if we did one where like both our cameras are off?
I don't want to know that one. I don't I'm not interested in the reaction to that one. That one will be too painful.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Adam, for wonderful 50-odd episodes, and long may it continue. We're also going to be reaching out to folks on social media about asking them for their thoughts about what's going to happen next year. I know Adam on his show always does his New Year's resolutions and his predictions. We're going to do something similar to that on this. So we'd love to hear from the industry. What are your predictions for the next 12 months? And so we'll be reaching out
Yeah,
there as well.
get those to us and we'll incorporate it into the show and read it
Yeah.
for everyone and debate it for everybody. I think that would be a really cool feature.
Cool. Adam, they want to reach you. Where can they do that?
Adam@thebrandrevolt.com. Find me on LinkedIn or, of course, on Tourism IQ.
And you can find me, Stuart.Butler@visitmontebeach.com or on LinkedIn. And guys, we really, really do appreciate you. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Until next time, this has been Destination Discourse.
Thanks, everybody.
I tell you what, dude, the last two episodes were really good. The
Oh,
Kara one and the Jeanette one.
I mean, I'm listening back to those going, these are meaningful. And I'll be honest, I was pretty proud. You know how you were saying you go back and you're like, hey, I said something super smart. I wasn't going to say this on air. Oh, great. Stop the recording. But the concept that we're built for the illusion of relevance as opposed to actual relevance, I actually feel like I kind of want to build a keynote around that, because I think that's something that could probably be pretty
It was
easy to
good, man.
remember.